5, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. When did that happen? Acts 14 in Lystra. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. Verse 26, read that. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I think Paul puts everybody in this room combined to shame when it comes to suffering for Jesus. In verse 27, in weariness and painfulness. How many of you live with pain? I mean, I had a wreck and busted my knee. I had a football injury and busted my hand, and they hurt to this day. Can you imagine the arthritic pain and suffering that Paul might have endured? In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Read those next three verses with me. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. And I don't think that's a full list. I mean, he generalized a lot of the things he said there. He could have gone into specifics. And yet, suffering more than everybody in this room combined times 100, Paul still never tried to elevate himself and would not allow these people to deify him in Acts 14 in Lystra. After all that, he still wanted to say, I preach Christ crucified. I preach the cross. That's something we should take note of. Some of us in this room have suffered. I'm not saying we haven't. A lot of times it's been of our own doing. A lot of it's just natural stuff, you know, that happens because we're under the curse and our bodies are still fallen and subject to illness and death. We should never allow our sufferings to cause to diminish Christ. We should always see that in our sufferings, if nothing else, we're reminded this is temporary. Why? Because Jesus has won eternal life for me. Because of Jesus, whatever I'm suffering, it is temporary. And I one day will be in a glorified state. I will be as He is. If you look at life's trials, and I'm just preaching to myself, I can put a mirror here, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody in this room. We must view our trials in the way Paul viewed them. Nothing compared to the glory that awaits. Amen? Amen. So back to our text in verse 20. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So Paul leaves town, but not for long. I don't know about you, I probably would have never gone back. I've been to a few towns where I wasn't even treated that badly, and I don't want to go back. But look at verse 21. Paul doesn't pray here. Why, Lord? Why am I here? Paul knows that no matter where life takes him, he has one main priority. Amen. That's to lift up Christ. Look at that. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. How many of you would be honest enough to admit with me that you might have gone off to a hotel room and taken some time to heal? You might, he probably walked in there looking like the hunchback of Notre Dame. Repent! God has a wonderful plan for your life. That's how the gospel's preached. You have these guys all looking, you know, in their slick suits and massive crowds and adulation, and they say, if you will get saved, God is just going to bless your socks off. If you'll get saved, you all your problems are going to go away. You're just going to, you have prosperity. That wasn't how it's portrayed in the Bible. I mean, those people cannot be reading the same Bible I'm reading. The followers of Christ, well, if you're going to be honest, you preach and say, repent and be saved. This life will be as much hell as you'll ever suffer. If you get saved, you'll suffer, and it'll be a lot of times where you think you're in hell on earth without the flames. Amen. But one day you'll have glory. You don't hear that preached very often. But that's, Paul went in there, he had to look beat. He had to be bruised and bloodied. Didn't even go home and put on his new suit. You make your choices in life. But no matter where those choices land you, this is what God's plan is for your life. You understand that? I am not saying God doesn't lead you in marriage choices. I'm not saying God doesn't lead you in the choice of occupation. I'm not saying that God doesn't lead you about what house, what neighborhood to live in, whatever. But what I am saying is this. We talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school. Is that you're going by that still small voice. You go by that drawing and that leading. But there's no guarantee that what that's leading you to is happy, happy, happy all the time.
Amen.
And there's times where you may get it wrong. You may have misread the leading of the Lord. Don't blame God for it. And there's other times where He led you right where He wants you, and it does involve suffering.
Amen.
But no matter what, no matter, even if you make a choice without consulting God and do the wrong thing and go and cause yourself problems, it still doesn't matter. Nothing changes God's ultimate purpose for your life, and that is you are here to enjoy Him and have a close relationship with Him through thick and thin and to glorify Him. Amen. And you do not glorify Him any better way than to preach Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. That's how you glorify Christ. And without batting an eye, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, always serving, always trusting, always faithful. I will not stand up here and try to glorify Greg. I will not lie to you and tell you that I've always, always done those things. I just have to be honest. I've been saved for going on 35 years. I have not always served the Lord the way I ought to. I have not always trusted the Lord the way I ought to. I haven't always been as faithful as I ought to be. But Paul sure gave us a good example to follow, which is why he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Why did Paul do that? Why did Paul live like that? Because Paul was following Christ. And Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. If you're looking at someone who's a good Christian example, there's nothing wrong with following their example as long as they continue following Christ. The moment they waver off this or that way, don't follow them anymore. Amen?
Amen?
So what's the result of his ministry then at this point is, he goes back to where they stoned him, and he's confirming the souls of the disciples. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. Now, the synonyms for confirming the word confirming, is establishing and strengthening. Now, to the outside world, we want to preach the gospel that lost souls might be saved. When we come in this building, this is the church. You are supposed to be saved, which is why you come to church. We don't block the door if an unbeliever comes in. But the purpose of the church isn't to preach the gospel to the lost when it's gathering as the church. Think of the contradiction that is, and you hear people say that. We are the church. The church can't include unsaved people. So only saved people are to be considered members of a local church. And when we come together in a meeting, whether it's here or it's in a cave or it's outdoors, it doesn't matter. When we gather together, the purpose is right there. Confirming one another. Establishing one another. Strengthening one another. If you come in here and you are only thinking about you, and you're not thinking about how you can confirm others, how you can be used of God to establish others with a word of truth, a prayer, whatever the case may be. If you didn't come in here to help strengthen the body, you're here for the wrong reason. You shouldn't be here. You should only come to church when you're coming for the right reason. You say, well, I'll just stay home. That's not the point. The point is repent. And come here for the right reason. Yeah, because, I just want to say, as I was thinking about this, and it reminds me of the words of Jesus to Peter after his post-resurrection restoration. Look over there in Luke 22. We are not perfect. We are not sinless. We fail. We make bad choices. We may say things the wrong way. We may even offend people with our words from time to time. We'd better be very forgiving one to another about that. But our intention is to build. And here's Jesus setting the example the way he treats Peter here after Peter had totally denied him three times before he was crucified. Now Jesus has risen again. And look in Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Read 32 and 33 with me. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I want to add to that last verse because that's the right attitude. That's the right response. We don't always fulfill it the way we ought to, but we want to. We should want to. And what's he say again? Strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen. What's that mean? That means Peter has to be about other people. Peter has to be selfless and centered on serving the Lord by serving others. And of course, that doesn't just happen when you come to church. It's supposed to happen all the other days. You're outside these four walls. You're living your life. Starts in the home. Starts with a spouse, with children. If you're a child living in your home, it starts with your parents and your siblings, whatever the case may be. When you go to work, if you only go to work to do your time and go home, then you'll probably be miserable. But if you see your job as an opportunity to serve the Lord and watch for opportunities, even when you got to be careful not to do things while you're on the clock and that sort of thing to get in trouble, make sure it's during break or before or after the shift and you talk to people. But during those times, you have a right to be a human being.
Amen.
And you can talk to people and you can pray for people. You can go sit in the car if you don't want to cause trouble. You just want to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Go sit in the car or say, hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee down the road. Whatever the case may be, you can be used of God. The problem is that most people just don't have their eyes open. They don't have their eyes open looking to be used of God, looking for those opportunities. Gospel tracts. I mean, we've talked about it over and over, but every time you go through a drive-thru, every time you go out to eat and you leave a tip, don't leave it without a tip. And tip well. Amen. You can go in stores and leave things around, and you can find places where they allow literature on the table. Put your literature there. You can. We have somebody who's mailing tracts all over the country. It's because some of them get sent back to us because they put our P.O. box as a return. You know, whatever the case may be, go through your mailing list and mail tracts to those people. I mean, I'm just giving you a few ideas. If you will look, open your eyes and start looking for opportunities, then maybe I'll get a phone call about you leaving tracts somewhere. They say they don't want them.
Amen.
And I, thanks for the confirmation. I'm not going to tell people not to give out tracts. Keep doing it.
Amen. Thank you.
Just don't put them in mailboxes. It's a federal crime. Don't want you locked up. So it says exhorting them to continue in the faith. It's describing the confirming that was going on there. And look, it's not nagging. You know, when someone misses a church service and they come back, don't go up there and say, "Where have you been?" And, you know, don't be nosing into what people are doing and trying to be the Holy Spirit for them. That's not what this is about. But you should exhort them to continue in the faith. I mean, I've been exhorted. I've been encouraged when I'm going through something. Some brother of Christ would come up behind me and slap me on the back and say, "You know what? You know, we know you're going through some things. We don't want you to think you're suffering without any support. We're praying for you. Just hang in there. Continue in the faith." That was enough. I just needed to hear that. Sometimes that's all it takes. Some people will send out cards in the mail. I've heard the encouragement those things can be. And some people would do that and need to do it in Christmas time too. But we'll get back to that. Hebrews 10:25. This is a famous verse, but people miss part of the message here. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." We know a lot of people who claim to be Christians. "I read my Bible, I pray," but they don't go to church. They don't identify with the local church. You're violating Scripture. I mean, it's just that simple. "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." But what does it say? "But exhorting one another." But exhorting one. Okay, I've heard that verse quoted hundreds of times in my lifetime, and very seldom do they point out the exhorting one another. Exhorting. Well, that just means encouraging, lifting each other up. And credit, I'm preaching to the choir. There are a lot of you here that do that. I appreciate it. But maybe you've thought about just giving up and hanging it up and coasting your way to the rapture or whatever. Well, there's a lot of people doing that, and they're going to be sorry they did it. They'll be ashamed that they did it. And those who are doing that, they are in violation of God's word. It's not multiple choice, folks. Amen?
Amen?
You can't obey that admonition if you're not gathering with believers in the local church. Now, we do know, I always have to say this, there are some who live in an area where there is not a Bible-believing church in the area, and they join us online. And they contact us, we're in contact with one another, and until there's a local church within your area, I believe that's a legitimate thing. And you can still get involved on the MeWe group or through email or whatever and still take part in encouraging one another.
Amen.
You just do what your situation calls for to the glory of God. So then verse 22 says, "And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." It doesn't say you might. Through much, it says you must. Must through much tribulation. So just don't get all bent out of shape when trouble comes in your life and say, "Why, God, why?" If God were to speak audibly, he would just say, "Read the book." Because it's all in there. You're going to suffer tribulation in this life. But listen, folks, what a trade-off. This is the only life we're going to do it. And then forever and ever and ever, no more tribulation. I think we get a pretty good deal since we didn't do anything to deserve it. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. I've quoted the theologian, some of you know Doug Coldren, and he pointed this out to me one time. He said, we are saved by works, but not our works. Saved by His works. Amen. Amen. So we will go through much tribulation as we enter into the kingdom, not in order to be saved, but because we are saved. For the eternal blessings that lie ahead, this is a small price to pay. I already said that. But verse 23, we close. It says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. This is what we call church planting. And that was a major part of the apostolic ministry. It's still going on to this day. Good missionary work is church planting. But it's the sad thing is what you're experiencing here locally, the missionaries are experiencing on the field, especially in certain places. Like if you go to places mostly in Europe, there are missionaries that go years without converts. Then you go to places like certain places in South America, certain places in Africa, certain places in Asia, great harvest of souls taking place. And so it's very apostolic. They're planting churches all over the place in those areas, and they're following this model. But we kind of are here for that same reason. You know, when I was sitting under a pastor who began denying the infallibility of Scripture, and later found out there might have been a health reason for that. I don't want to go into more detail about it. But I left, and we started visiting churches. And we found very few that weren't using corrupt Bibles. Among those using the right Bible, they were mostly clown shows. And they weren't teaching the Bible. There was a lot of emotional stuff and music and song fest and this and that, but they weren't teaching the Bible. And one thing led to another, and we just prayed about it. And when I knew my wife was getting the same leading I was getting, that confirmed that this was the thing to do. And so that's when Bible Believers Fellowship began in June of 2006, wasn't it? So it's been, what, 18, going on 18 years? Be 18 years in June. And God has used this little church. We used to meet in a family room, and we started meeting in a movie theater, and then we moved to the fellowship or the township hall. Had to set up chairs and tables every week and tear them down. And this building became available, and the Lord helped us get moved in here. And now the radio ministry is reaching 80 of 88 counties in Ohio. The internet ministry is meeting anywhere from 50 to 70 countries in a month, all 50 states, the U.S. territories. We have the 24/7 online radio program, bbfohioradio.com. More than 4,000 free studies available online. We never dreamed it would get to that point back in 2006. We just thought we were going to be sitting around eating snacks, drinking coffee, and talking about the Bible. But when you do things God's way, God blesses it. And Paul is our example. Great will be his reward. And I know my reward will not stack up next to his, but I'm going to follow his example. We should follow his example the rest of our days and just see what kind of reward is awaiting us when we go home. Amen? Yes. And we will do it all for the praise and glory of the wonderful Savior, Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time and your word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit guiding and teaching us. And we just thank you so much for the eternal salvation we do not deserve, unmerited, completely of your grace, by grace through faith, not of ourselves. We sing about you down here as often as we have the opportunity. We just cannot wait to be standing there with Paul and the other apostles, all the other saints that we've read about in the Bible. And then I'll get to see my dad, my grandma, and grandpa, and so many others that are up there. And we're all going to be praising one person. It'll be all about Jesus. Help us to make our lives all about Jesus. In his precious name we pray, amen.
Souls in danger.